The Rudy Valley Hour from Radio City, New York, with Constance Bennett, Jack Pearl, Helen Kane, Larry Murphy and his Roundtowners, the Connecticut Yankees, and Lou Holtz. Hi-ho, everybody. This is Rudy Valley and Company. The 4th of July, 1939, has passed into history, and another holiday quickly approaches. We don't wish to alarm you, but there are only 172 shopping days till Christmas. The Rudy Valley Company has started its Christmas shopping early, and we give you such presents as Jack Pearl.
Merry Christmas, Rudy.
Thank you, Jack, and the same to you.
Rudy, would you buy me a pool table?
Quiet, Lou. Helen Kane.
Merry Christmas, Rudy.
Thank you, Helen.
Rudy, please buy me a pool table.
Quiet, Lou. Constance Bennett.
Merry Christmas, Rudy.
Thank you, Connie, and you looked just gorgeous.
I'll say. Never mind the pool table, Rudy. Will you buy me one of those?
And Lou Holtz.
Say, Rudy, am I a Christmas present, too?
Yes, Lou. You know the best things are right down at the bottom of the stocking, and that's where you are. Right next to the toe.
I see. The heel.
The Rudy Valley Hour, Act One, presented by the makers of Royal Desserts. A group of three songs, all different, and in my opinion, all quite good. Address unknown. The day we meet again, Old Mill Wheel. Address unknown, not even a trace of you. Oh, what I'd give to see the face of you. I was a fool to stay away from you so long. I should have known there'd come a day when you'd be gone. Address unknown, oh, how could I be so blind to think that you would never be hard to find. From the place of your birth to the ends of the earth, I've searched only to find, only to find, address unknown. Used to be our little rendezvous, Our names are carved on the old broken door, but the old mill wheel never turns anymore.
I must tell you, you know, I saw your new picture, Second Fiddle, at the Roxy the other night.
Oh, yeah? You want to make anything out of it?
Now, wait a minute, Rudy. So what are you talking about? Everybody loved it. Well, on the way out of the theater, I overheard a conversation between a couple of lovely old gentlemen, and one of them said, Rudy Valley is not only a great singer and terrific showman, he's also one of the greatest screen actors I've ever seen.
Very flattering. Who were these two men?
Well, Rudy, I don't know who the man was that your father was talking to. But I must tell you, I went to see the picture with my wife, and it's the last time I'm ever going to take my wife to see you in a picture.
Why? Didn't she like it?
Yeah, that's the trouble. After she saw you, it took her 4 days to get used to me again. Rudy, I can't understand it. How is it that you always look so great?
Aw, shucks.
Well... No, Rudy, I'm serious. I can't understand what makes you look so healthy.
Well, for one thing, I play a lot of tennis, and I'm always out in the fresh air. I spent the weekend at Atlantic City.
I went to Atlantic City with my wife. It didn't help me.
I didn't see you.
Well, I can't understand it. I was there, and Rudy, I bought my wife a beach outfit. A beautiful two-piece beach outfit.
You did?
Yeah, a pail and a shovel. But you know, Rudy, I've got to be very careful of sunburn. It murders me. So while there, I went to a lifeguard, and I said, Lifeguard, how can I avoid getting sunburned? And he said, Lou, you use oil and ordinary baking flour. So I put some oil on my face, I covered it up with plenty of flour, and I fell asleep in the sun. I woke up 3 hours later and broke out with hot biscuits.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I can't understand. Something always happens to me. But, Rudy, the women. You should see the women. The bathing suits they're wearing. They're the smallest suits I've ever seen in my life. There was one girl wearing a bathing suit in Atlantic City that looked like something that a silkworm had knocked off during his lunch hour.
Tell me, Lou, was Sam Lapidus down in Atlantic City?
Was Sam there? You know Sam. Sam is all over. Sam walked into a hotel. He says, Beg your pardon, if you'd be so kindly, how much is our room? The clerk said, we have rooms for $5 and $10. Sam says, I'll take a $5 room, if you please. The clerk said, I'm sorry, but all the $5 rooms are gone. I'll give you a $10 room with the most beautiful view of the ocean that you've ever seen in your life. Sam said, all I'm spending is $5. Well, the clerk said, the view alone from the $10 room is worth $5 of anybody's money. Sam says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $5 for a $10 room with the beautiful view, and I give you my sacred word of honor, I'll keep the shades down. I said to Sam, Sam, why are you in Atlantic City? He's Lou. He says, I'm down here for mine rheumatics and old relgia. I said, Sam, you mean neuralgia. He said, no, I've had it for 16 years, and to me it's plain old relgia. Somebody told Sam that if you bathe your feet in ocean water, that it's very good for rheumatism. So as soon as Sam got down there, 6 o'clock in the morning, he got a bucket, went down to the ocean, he filled the bucket up with the water. High tide, the water was right up to the boardwalk. He fills up the bucket, and as he's leaving the beach, there was a policeman there with a great sense of humor. He says, hey, what are you doing with the bucket? Sam says, well, I'll tell you, I got the rheumatism very bad, and I figure I'll bathe the feet in the water, and when the rheumatism is going in the water, I'll run away from the pail. The policeman says, it'll cost you $0.50 a bucket. Peter says, well, it's a lot of money, but if it's curing rheumatism, okay, here's the 50 cents. So Lapidus goes home, he bathes in the ocean water, gets up the next day, and he feels very good. He says, very good, I think I'll try it again. So he goes down to the ocean again with the bucket, and it's low tide. The ocean is out about a block and a half. Lapidus looked out at the ocean. He said, my goodness, what a business they did since last night.
I say, tell me, Rudy, how'd you like Atlantic City?
Oh, delightful, Bill, delightful. You know that Lou Holtz is right about this year's bathing suits? They seem to be wearing them skimpier everywhere. Saw a lifeguard walk over to a bathing beauty and say, lady, there's a spot on your bathing suit. She said, that's no spot, that's my suit.
Great place, Atlantic City.
Yes, people from all over the country go there to cool off.
Well, say, Rudy, speaking of cooling off these hot July days, I'd like to tell you what a lot of people do. When it comes to dessert, they have Royal Gelatin, cool and sparkling straight from the refrigerator. It's an ideal dessert for summer meals, and here's one reason why. Four of Royal's flavors are tropical flavors, made right from nature's coolly most refreshing fruits. You know those fruits, crisp, snowy pineapples, tangy lemons, sea green limes, and juicy golden oranges. Cool fruits that nature has especially designed for when it's hot. And now you can enjoy these tropical fruit flavors in an ideal form, in shimmering, clear gelatin that's light and cool and splendid for children. And Royal Gelatin desserts are mighty popular with housewives, too, because they're all made in a jiffy with no fuss or bother. And they cost so little, you save money every time you serve them. Try delicious Royal Orange Gelatin. And for variety, enjoy the other tangy tropical fruit flavors, Royal Pineapple, Royal Lemon, and cool Royal Lime. All four are made from the fresh fruit itself, so that you're sure your gelatin desserts will taste like real fruit, cool, delicious, and refreshing. Ask your grocer for genuine Royal, R-O-Y-A-L. Buy several packages of Royal Gelatin desserts tomorrow.
Winter is coming and soon there will be frost on the moon. Snow will be falling and what am I going to do? I'll need somebody to hold, someone to hold when it's cold, someone to love, and I hope that that someone is you. The sun will shine in the summer and I'll be fine in the summer, but then I've got to have you to cuddle up to when winter comes. It's nice and warm in the summer, I'll be in form in the summer, but then I've got to have you to cuddle up to when winter comes. All summer I'll be playing out on a tennis court, but in the winter, just like the groundhog, I'll turn into an indoor sport. I'll pull an oar in the summer and hug the shore in the summer, but then I've got to have you to cuddle up to when winter comes.
Say, Rudy, isn't that the song you sing to Sonia Henney in Second Fiddle?
That's right, Bill. When Winter Comes. I think it's one of Irving Berlin's best compositions. The sun will shine in the summer, and I'll be fine in the summer, but then I've got to have you to cuddle up to when winter comes. It's nice and warm in the summer, I'll be in form in the summer, but then I've got to have you to cuddle up to when winter comes. All summer I'll be playing out on a tennis court, but in the winter, just like that there old groundhog, I'll turn into an indoor sport. I'll pull an oar in the summer and hug the shore in the summer, but then I've got to have you to cuddle up to when winter comes.
Connie, you certainly are a speedy traveler. Yesterday we talked to you on the phone in Hollywood, and today you're standing right beside me.
Mm-hmm. That's the way we've been at Tsar, Rudy. There today and here tomorrow.
No timid souls in the Bennett clan? No inhibitions or suppressed desires?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. Even the Bennetts hold back now and then. Take little Constance. I've always had a wild desire to take off my shoes and stockings and walk down Fifth Avenue in the rain.
Say, that's amazing. I've often wanted to do the same thing.
Really?
And you know what else I've wanted to do?
Know what?
I've wanted to kick people when they bend down to tie their shoelaces. Have you ever wanted to do that?
Wanted to? I've done it.
No.
Yes.
Maybe we ought to do something about ourselves. Perhaps we ought to be psychoanalyzed.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Rudy. Let's not be too hasty. There are some people who can't take their psychoanalysis or even leave it alone. For instance, there was Miss Henrietta Brewster.
In an attractive New York studio apartment, a table is set for three, but only two are seated at it, Henrietta and Stephen Brewster. Henrietta seems rather worried as she speaks.
Steve, you're so morose. I think you've got some sort of complex. You're all inhibited, you're not sleeping well.
How can I sleep when you're always waking me up to find out what I'm dreaming?
But dreams are so important, Stephen. If you tell yours to Dr. Russell, I'm sure he'd find out exactly what's wrong with
you. But there's nothing wrong with
me. Oh, yes, there is. You're suffering from a suppressed desire.
I'm suffering from a suppressed desire for a little peace and quiet.
Dr. Russell is doing simply wonderful things with nervous cases. Won't you go to him, Steve?
No, Henrietta, I won't.
But, Stephen,
I... Shh, your sister's coming. Now, let's not be wrangling with each other the first day of her visit.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mabel.
Good morning, Mabel. Sit down. There'll be fresh toast in a minute. Did you sleep well last night?
Oh, yes, I slept fine, only I did have the funniest dream.
A dream? What did you dream, Mabel?
Mabel, I warn you, don't tell Henrietta your dreams. She'll find you have an underground desire to kill your father and marry your mother.
Don't be absurd, Stephen Brewster. What was your dream, dear?
Well, I dreamed I was a hen.
A hen?
Yes, and I was pushing along through a crowd as fast as I could. But being a hen, I couldn't walk very fast. And there was someone in a blue cap. Oh, you know how mixed up dreams are. And he kept shouting after me, "Step hen, step hen," until I got all excited and just couldn't move at all.
You say you became very much excited.
Oh, yes, I was in a terrible state.
Mm-hmm, that's significant.
I thought so.
Mabel, do you know anything about psychoanalysis?
Oh, not much. You see, Bob and I don't live in touch with intellectual things as you do. Somehow our friends aren't interested.
I have it. That editorial writer. What's his name?
Oh, you mean Lyman Eggleston?
Yes, that's it, Eggleston. Don't you see him sometimes?
Well, yes, I see him once in a while, but Bob doesn't like him very well.
Uh-huh. Your husband doesn't like Lyman Eggleston. Mabel, are you perfectly happy with your husband?
Why, yes, I guess. Well, of course I am.
Are you happy, or do you only think you are? Or do you only think you ought to be?
Why, Henrietta, I don't know what you mean.
She means about your sub-un-non-conscious mind and desires you know not of.
What?
You may go crazy with them. Oh, yes, people are doing it right and left. You're dreaming you're a hen.
Stop it, Stephen. It's like this, Mabel. You want something. You think it's wrong, so you try to think you don't want it. Your mind refuses to think the forbidden thing, but it's there just the same. Shut up in your subconscious mind. And it festers.
Sort of an ingrowing mental toenail.
And that forbidden impulse has simply got to do something. So it comes out in dreams, makes all sorts of trouble. Often it drives you insane.
Oh!
But psychoanalysis brings into consciousness the suppressed desire that was making all the trouble. It's simply a scientific method of preventing insanity.
It's also a scientific method of separating families.
Families that ought to be separated.
The Dwights, for instance. You must have met them, Mabel, when you were here before. Helen was living apparently in peace and happiness with good old Joe.
And she left him?
Yes, she did.
Well, wasn't he kind to her?
Good enough.
And she left her good, kind husband.
Oh, Mabel left her good, kind husband. How naive. She came to know herself, and she had courage.
But if people always have these awful suppressed desires...
Always.
Well, I don't believe we have them back home.
People have them wherever the living libido, the center of the soul's energy, is in conflict with petrified moral codes.
Oh, don't talk like that, please, Henrietta. It makes me nervous.
Nervous. Sort of shaky and unstrung.
Why, yes.
Oh, my poor little sister. Tell me about it.
About what?
About your not being happy. About your strange, unexplained nervousness. About your longing for another sort of life.
But I don't.
Oh, yes, you do. Bob's confining you to a life in which you don't feel free.
Oh, Henrietta, when did I ever say such a thing?
You said that Bob and your life together are not in touch with things intellectual.
Well,
you miss these things, and your resentment has colored your whole life with him.
Why, Henrietta...
Oh, don't be afraid of me, dear. There's nothing can shock me or turn me from you. I wanted you to come for this visit because I had a feeling that you needed more than you got out of life, and now I know. You're nervous. You look queer. In your eyes, there's a frightened look. And this dream, a hen.
Oh, this is terrible. I don't think we ought to think such things. Well, I'll tell you why I dreamed I was a hen. It was because last night we were talking about the time I was mad as a wet hen.
Did you dream you were a wet hen?
Well, no.
No, you dreamed you were a very dry hen. By the way, how old is Lyman Eggleston?
Well, he's about...
No, never mind, don't tell me. I'll take you to see Dr. Russell this afternoon.
No,
we'll go now. We must hurry, Mabel. Your life may be at stake.
Isn't Mabel back yet?
No, she's still with Dr. Russell. I'm sure he'll confirm my theory in the hen dream.
What is your theory?
Well, you know about Lyman Eggleston. He's different from Mabel's other friends, more intellectual. And she doesn't see much of him because Bob doesn't like him.
So what?
Stephen. Haven't you noticed the first syllable of his name?
Lie?
No. Egg. Egg, don't you see? Mabel dreamed she was a hen. And the whole hidden complex is revealed by a single significant syllable. Egg.
Doesn't the traditional relationship of hen and egg suggest rather a maternal feeling?
Oh, there's something maternal in Mabel's love, of course, but that's only one element.
Yes, but what about her husband? Don't you think he's going to be a little rough on him?
That can't be helped. Bob, like everybody else, must face life as it is. If Dr. Russell should arrive at the same interpretation I shall advise Mabel to leave her husband.
What?
Henrietta! Stephen! He's found it!
Who? Found what?
Dr. Russell found my suppressed desire.
Really?
Oh. He got hold of my complex in the most amazing way. Oh, but Henrietta, it's terrible.
Oh, do be calm, Mabel.
Oh, but it is. And perfectly certain that I have a suppressed desire.
Yes,
for...
go on, Mabel. I'm prepared.
Prepared? You mean you've suspected it?
Oh, from the first. It's been my theory all along.
But, Henrietta, I didn't know I had this secret desire for Stephen.
Stephen?
My brother-in-law. My own sister's husband.
You have a suppressed desire for my husband?
Yes. Oh, it's the strangest thing. But you know the voice in my dream that called Step Hen? Well, Dr. Russell found out today that when I was a little girl, I had a storybook in words of one syllable, you see, and I read the name Stephen wrong. I used to read it S-T-E-P, step, H-E-N, hen. Step hen is Stephen. Stephen is step hen.
I, step hen.
S-T-E-P, step, H-E-N, hen. Stephen.
On account of that trivial, meaningless play on syllables, on that flimsy basis, you're ready to...
What on earth's the matter? What's happened? Suppose I am step hen. What about it? What does it mean?
Well, it means that I... that I have a suppressed desire for you.
Does Dr. Russell know he's talking about my husband?
Well, of course.
How can he say that after all the patients I've sent him?
Oh, there's such a lot about names. It all works together. You see, I dreamed I was a hen because that's the first syllable of Henrietta's name. And when I dreamed I was a hen, I was putting myself in Henrietta's place.
With Stephen.
With Stephen.
Oh, Mabel. Have you thought of Bob?
Well, yes, but think of the living libido in conflict with petrified moral codes. And think of the perfectly wonderful way the names prove it. Dr. Russell's never seen anything more convincing. Now, just look at Stephen's last name, Brewster. I dreamed I'm a hen, and the name Brewster, well, you have to say its first letter by itself.
Oh, dear.
And then the hen says to him, step hen, be rooster.
Stephen, if you two are going, I wish you would go tonight.
Oh, my dear, surely I couldn't do that. Think of my feelings, and my laundry hasn't come home.
I ask you to go tonight. Some women would falter at this, Stephen, but I'm not such a woman. I leave you free. Psychoanalysis must be right.
I'm sorry, Henrietta, about Mabel's unconscious mind.
Mabel, are you going to insist on going away with Stephen?
Well, I'd rather go with Stephen than go to the insane asylum.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Mabel! Drop that insane asylum! You did have a suppressed desire for Stephen hidden away in you. It isn't hidden now. Dr. Russell has brought it into your consciousness. But for heaven's sake, psychoanalysis doesn't say you have to gratify every suppressed desire.
Why, Henrietta, I thought psychoanalysis...
Stephen Brewster, I don't want to ever hear the word psychoanalysis again!
Do you mean that, Henrietta? You're going to stop talking about it.
Stop talking about it? Why shouldn't I? Look what it's done to me.
Do you swear never to wake me up in the night to find out what I'm dreaming?
Dream what you please. I don't care what you dream.
Well, Henrietta, if you're going to separate from psychoanalysis, there's no reason why I should separate from you.
But what about me? What am I going to do with my suppressed desire?
You just go right on suppressing it. Psychoanalysis. After all I've done for it, too. What has it done for me? Step in. Be rooster. Oh, I could cry. In fact, I think I will cry.
Ah, Miss Bennett. Miss Bennett, I want to tell you that you are absolutely magnificent. You are simply superb. You handle yourself in a manner that would make any thespian envious.
Well, thank you, Lou, but why the English accent?
Well, do I have to tell you?
I'd like to know.
Well, that's my suppressed desire. I've always wanted to be an English actor.
Well, slip me down. He wants to be an English actor.
Are these old ears deceiving me? Are you talking with a dialect?
Absolutely.
And why?
That's my suppressed desire. I've always wanted to play the part of Mrs. Lapidus.
Well, then the matter is ended. You're Mrs. Lapidus, and I'm the new English butler applying for a job. Thank you all.
Mrs. Lapidus, Hotchkiss Holtz, the new butler, has arrived.
Do you mean it? I'm seeing him in the reception room.
Good evening, Mrs. Lapidus. I'm Hotchkiss of London, thank you.
I'm Mrs. Lapidus from the Bronx, and thank you. If you'll be so kindly, have you got any references?
Any references? Of course. Of course I have, bless you all. Well, this is practically a eulogy from my last employer. I'll read it to you. It says here, to whom it may concern, Hotchkiss Holtz was in my employ for 1 year and left, and I am satisfied.
Suits me to a T. I'm overflowing with satisfaction. I'll show you around the premises.
Well, I'll be the happiest boy in the world working for you. Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm quite sure that I'll adore being in your employ.
Do you mean it?
Thank you.
You know, Hotchkiss, everything in this room was furnished by Cupins.
Cupins, madam? Are they interior decorators?
No, Cupins, soap Cupins.
Oh, I see, soap coupons. Yes, yes,
yes.
Continue.
You see that Chippendale chair?
Yes.
3,000 soap coupons.
3,000 soap coupons, that's amazing.
That's nothing. See that piano? 12,000 soap coupons.
Unbelievable.
The rugs, the painting, the chandelier, and everything else in this room cost me not more, not less than 85,000 soap coupons.
Well, that's absolutely astonishing. Madam, I'd like to see the rest of the rooms in the house.
You can see them.
Why can't I see the rest of the rooms?
Because they are full of soap.
Miss Bennett, who was it that said everybody complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it?
I don't know, Mr. Spargo. Who was it?
Well, I'll ask Rudy. Who was it that said everybody complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it?
I don't know either, Bill.
Well, how about you, Lou? Do you know?
Let me see. Everybody complains about the weather. The weather. So right. What's the rest of it, Bill?
Well, everybody complains about the weather, but nobody does anything about it.
Well, I've got it.
Who was it?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know either, but I do know how you can stop complaining and do something about it. Right now, your grocer has a swell suggestion for July desserts. That's Royal Gelatin, dessert that you bring right from the refrigerator, clear and colorful and brimming with a flavor made from real fresh fruit. Try Royal's tropical flavors, flavors made from four of nature's most refreshing fruits. Just think of them, crisp, snowy pineapples, tangy limes, tart lemons, and cool, juicy oranges. Royal blends those tempting fresh fruit flavors with pure grade-A gelatin so that it's always clear, light, wholesome, and just the thing for children. Ask for Royal, R-O-Y-A-L. Get a good supply tomorrow. The Rudy Valley Hour, Act Two, with Constance Bennett, Jack Pearl, Helen Kane, Larry Murphy, and his round-towners, the Connecticut Yankees and Lou Holtz, presented by the makers of Fleischmann's High Vitamin Yeast.
You took me out of this world when you came into my heart. You took me out of this world into a world apart, where every dream we share has a way of coming true. And darling, this couldn't be had it not been for you. You took me up on a cloud where I could touch every star. You took me out of the crowd into a Shangri-La. I'm speaking of the land of love that's bounded by your charms. You took me out of this world when you took me in your arms. Every star, you took me out of the crowd into your Shangri-La. I'm speaking of the land of love that's bounded by your charms. You took me out of this world when you took me in your
arms. What's the use? I teach him and I teach him, still he don't learn anything.
Hold on there, hold on there. What's the trouble, Jack? What's the trouble?
You want to hear something? Me, the great Baron Munchausen. I am... Oh, hello, Rudy. Why, Rudy, you look marvelous, beautiful.
Thank you, Mr. Pearl.
If there's anything I like to see on a man, it's nice, lovely, curly hair.
You do, eh?
Yes, I love curly hair. Real beautiful curly hair.
So you like my hair, Baron?
Well, not that curly. No. But you, am I disgusted, Rudy? I teach the fella everything I know about swimming, and still he can't swim. He just can't learn how to swim.
Who?
Johnny Weissmuller.
Why, Baron, don't you know that Johnny Weissmuller is conceded to be one of the fastest swimmers in the world?
Weissmuller? That's a swimmer? With that stroke? Why, he swims like an Australian crawls. Me, the Baron, I'm the fastest swimmer in the world.
You are?
Certainly. I would hold all the records if anybody could ever see me finish a race. But when I race in a pool, I swim so fast, the water gets boiling hot from the friction, and the judges can't see me on account of the steam. Weissmuller, that's some swimmer.
I can't understand it, Baron. Weissmuller's marvelous out at the Aquacade. Maybe you didn't get the true picture. Maybe you sat too close to the water.
That's possible, Rudy. I did sit pretty close to the water. I sat on the bottom of the pool.
See, I thought you sat too. What?
Yeah.
You sat on the bottom of the pool?
Yeah, sure, certainly.
Just a minute. You sat on the bottom of a pool 35 feet deep. You didn't have a diver's suit on.
What do you think I am? Sissy? Oh, no, I was...
You stayed there during the entire performance of the Aquacade? How could you stand it?
It ain't a bad show, Rudy. I enjoyed it.
Are you sure you're telling me the truth, Baron? You stayed underwater for 1 hour and 15 minutes.
That's nothing. That's nothing, Rudy. You know Lake Nokomis up near your lodge in Maine?
Yes, sir.
Last summer, I stayed on the bottom of Lake Nokomis for 4 days.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Lake Nokomis has been dried up for 15 years. There's no water in it.
Oh, no wonder I got sunburned. Oh, but you know something? You know, my uncle, now there was a man who really could stay on the water. You know what he did?
No, said Valley weakly. What?
Weakly. Fine, weak boy. My uncle jumped in the Atlantic Ocean, made an anchor tied around his neck, so he could break the world's underwater record. Now, that was at 3 p.m. on September 5th, 1911.
And how long did he stay underwater?
What's today's date? Hmm?
You tell some remarkable stories, Baron. That last one was so fishy, it gave me a headache.
Yeah, now, when I wasn't... You see, the Baron makes the jokes. Now, you see, I beg your stuff, what did you say?
I said your last story gave me a headache.
That's very finny, Mr. Valley.
Just why do you tell these fish stories, Baron?
Oh, just for the hell of it. Now, you see, now, when I was in South America...
I don't believe you were in South America.
Now, when I was in China...
I don't believe you were in China either.
Would you believe I was in Japan?
No.
Well, let's go back to South America. Now, look, it's nearer. Now, when I was in South America...
I know, you dived down to the bottom of the harbor in Rio, and there were Lou Holtz and I playing casino while Bill Spargrove kibitzed.
Honestly, Rudy, I don't know how you can stand there and lie like that, you know?
Forgive me, Baron. So you were in South America. How was the swimming down there?
Oh, now, that's better, Rudy. Swimming down there was pretty rough until I got past Miami.
You swam to Miami?
Sure. You see...
It's unbelievable.
I made very good time, too. You know, shark was pushing me. You see,
I still don't believe it.
What do you say?
I still don't believe it.
Then the shark swallowed me. You see, so...
The shark swallowed you?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Incredible. Where do you think I phoned you from? Now, think you see it in the newspapers tomorrow. Then I got my second wind.
Just a second. Do you want me to believe that you swam all the way from New York to South America?
Well, I would prefer it.
Well, I'm not going to believe a thing like that.
Rudy, if you ain't going to believe a thing like that, you're going to have a lot of trouble with the stuff that comes later. See? So I swam.
Way over the dam.
Yes. Still the music, huh? You see, the waves there were, well, Rudy... I saw one wave over 1,000 feet high.
1,000 feet
yeah.
high?
And yes, sure, it went up in the air 1,000 feet and it stayed there.
It stayed there?
Yeah. Was a permanent wave. You see? So one day, listen to this. You've got to listen to this. This will kill you. I hope. So one day I was swimming, and I looked up, and there was a school of dolphins swimming along 8 feet above the water. So
whoever heard of a school of fish swimming above the water?
This was a high school. You see, so I was...
You think I believe that?
You think I care? So I swam. I swam for 42 days and 42 days and 49 nights. And finally...
Now, wait a minute. 42 days and 49 nights?
Yeah.
What about the other 7 days?
I took Sundays off. You see, so maybe...
I see. What did you do on Sunday?
I went swimming. What I did on Sunday. Now, please, leave me alone, will you? So finally, I got to South America. And I went ashore into a terrible South American jungle. And, Rudy, I didn't have any gun or knife or anything.
What curao?
You see, so when I... What was the last thing you said?
I said, what epitome of curao?
Curao? Yes. You mean courage?
Yeah, something like that, yes.
It's the trouble with the foreigners. I don't know what it is. Courage. So I went into the jungle, Rudy. There, coming towards me, I saw 12 vicious rhinoceroses. But I wasn't afraid. No, I wasn't afraid. I just walked up.
Wait. Now, there aren't any rhinoceroses in South America.
I know it. That's why I wasn't afraid, you see? Then I turned around and there was a great big mountain lion. I pulled out my gun and with one shot I killed him dead.
Now, Baron,
then,
you just said you didn't have a gun.
So I killed him with a knife.
You also said you didn't have a knife.
Did I say I didn't have a pin?
No.
So I killed him with a pin. I brought that mountain lion back here with me and I'm going to stuff him.
No.
Yes, I'm going to stuff him.
I'd like to see that lion. I'm willing to have it stuffed for you.
Yeah? No, I'll do it myself.
Why don't you let me do it?
The Baron does his own lion.
He's an amazing fellow, the Baron, isn't he, Rudy?
Amazing and amusing, Bill. The Baron and I have been friends for many years. He's one of those people who can look you straight in the eye and tell the gosh awfulest fish story, but you still have to like him.
I understand, Rudy. The Baron makes friends easily. You know, Rudy, we all like to make friends in an easy, natural way. That's why it's so important to be feeling our best. People are attracted to us when we're bubbling over with vitality and good spirits. And besides, we can't do justice to ourselves when we're feeling tired, nervous, and run down. Authorities explain why many people do not feel their best. They say these people do not get the full benefit of the vitamins they eat. And because of slow digestion, their assimilation of vitamins is poor. And then, too, studies show that lots of people do not eat enough vitamins to begin with. Right now, during these summer months, people are inclined to eat less nerve vitamin B and less vitality vitamin G than at any other time of the year. You'll be glad to hear there's a way to help both of these troubles. It's to eat Fleischmann's new high vitamin yeast. This fresh yeast acts to tone up slow digestion. In this way, it promotes the assimilation of vitamins, helps you make fuller use of the vitamins you eat, and it gives you lots of vitamins to assimilate, rich amounts of four different ones. Your two cakes a day give you 300 units of nerve vitamin B, over 100 units of vitality vitamin G, and liberal quantities of vitamins A and D. See if this tonic food won't help you feel more full of life and enthusiasm. Eat one cake a half hour before breakfast or lunch, another cake a half hour before supper, or eat both cakes before any one meal. Begin tomorrow. Get some Fleischmann's high vitamin yeast from your grocer in the morning.
Larry Murphy, are your round towners ready?
Yes, Rudy.
Then go ahead.
I'm not much of a speech maker, Rudy. My English isn't very good. But here's the gentleman who does our speaking for us, Signor Roberto.
Well, thank you too much. Well, Mr. Valet, unaccumulated, as I am to public speaking in private, and my vocabulary is being very limited, I'm going to do the best that I am, pardon you please. This band, she's a play only the best, and we make a rehearsal for 62 months and 76 days, just to repeal on this all spices occasionally. Mr. Valet, as you say, don't make this concert too legitimate, as the people, maybe he's not going to understand too much. So we make a half legitimate and a half romantic popularity music. Thank you. It behooves us to do this, but what's must is, must was. So instead of the concert at Carnegie Hall, we're going to do the concert in the park. Thank you too much. Let it go, boys.
I've always been an admirer of the opera. Yes, the opera. It made me feel romantic, you see, I'm so romantic, you see. But I didn't find my romance in the opera. A ten-piece band brought romance to me, to me. Oh, the concert in the park, where we met in the dark. Oh, what an atmosphere, we started cuddling near. It was grand and the band was playing. Oh, the concert in the park, I felt just like a lark. My heart was filled with bliss, each time we'd steal a kiss. She's a grand and the band was playing. Sweet music brought romance our way. The more they play, the more we love, the more we love, the more they play. Oh, the concert in the park, touched off that certain spark. And when she whispered yes, I found my happiness. She's a grand and the band was playing. Now we're all set because we met at the concert in the park.
Hey, Mr. Valley, we got a singer too. And this fellow who's going to sing for you is Europe's foremost tenor singer. He's got a pair of pipes so loud that the vibration can be felt from here all the way to the Paris salon and triosphere up to the first wear. He's got the leader of the band and the best. singing excerpts from the opera Rigoletto, and he's also playing his cornet Tripoli tango solo, I present to you Signor Pasquale Giuseppe Lorenzo Murphy. Thank you too much.
It was grand and the band was playing. She's as grand and the band was playing. Sweet music, run romance our way. The more they play, the more we love, the more we love, the more they say. Oh, the concert in the park touched off that certain spot. And when she whispered yes, I found my happiness. She's a grand and the band was playing. Now we're all set because we met at the concert in the park.
What's the matter, Bill? Aren't you feeling well?
Oh, me? I'm feeling great. I'm just paving the way for Helen Kane, that's all. You know, boop-boop-a-doop, boop-boop-a-doop.
I'm sorry, Bill, but Helen doesn't go in for that boop-boop-a-doop stuff anymore. She's grown up now.
Oh, Rudy, no more boop-boop-a-doop.
No more boop-boop-a-doop. Of course, I don't blame you, Bill, because Helen Kane was the originator of that style of singing. But she went into retirement 3 years ago, and now she's emerged a changed girl.
Oh, I see. No more boop-boop-a-doop.
Yes, that's right. Isn't it, Helen?
Absolutely. Say, Rudy, there's something I'd like to tell you.
Well, maybe I better leave.
No, Bill, I want you to hear this, too.
Well, what is it, Helen?
Oop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop,
oop-oop-a-doop. A changed girl, huh, Rudy?
Well, she is changed, and you just wait until you hear her sing Scotch.
Yeah, and without soda. Now, when you hear Scotch songs, you always think of Sir Harry Lauder, and it's nice to get up in the morning. Oh, it's nice to get up in the morning when the sun begins to shine at 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the good old summer time. But when the snow is snoring and it's murky o'er your head, oh, it's nice to get up in the morning, but it's nicer to lie in your bed. Oh, my sister Jane's awake the rest and she sleeps along with me. And every morn she has to rise and go to her work at 3. And while she's putting her petticoat on, her legs are nailing numb. And while she stands a shivering, a lying in my bed and a hum. Oh, it's nice to get up in the morning when the sun begins to shine at 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the good old summer time. But when the snow is snoring and it's murky o'er your head, oh, it's nice to get up in the morning, but it's nicer to lie in your bed. Oh, it's nice to get up in the morning when the sun begins to shine at 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the good old summertime when the snow is snowing and it's murky overhead. Oh, it's nice to get up in the morning, but it's nicer to lie abed. For you take the high road, I'll take the low road at 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the good old summertime when the snow is snowing and it's murky overhead. Oh, it's nice to get up in the morning, but it's nicer to lie. Yes, it's nicer to lie. It's nicer to lie. It's nicer to lie in bed.
Helen, I want to tell you something, Helen. I certainly love to hear you sing. I certainly do. I want to tell you that you're just as cute as a bug in a rug. I think you're simply swell.
You're not so bad yourself, Lou. And if Rudy Valley wasn't here, you'd be the cutest.
Well, that's very sweet of you, Helen. I think you're the cutest no matter who's around.
I can see we're going to be awful good friends.
Oh, Helen, we'll be very good friends.
Okay, that's the deal. Hey, Lou, let's sail the bargain with a kiss.
Helen, I'd like to, but after all, I haven't seen you in almost 3 years, and I think it's awfully sweet of you to ask and all that sort of thing, but, Helen, I just can't.
Well, why not?
Well, I don't know. Helen, do you realize you're asking me for my lips?
I know, but one teeny-weeny kiss wouldn't hurt.
Well, I suppose not, but, Helen, suppose I kissed every girl that asked me, what would people say? They'd say, there goes Holtz, the tramp.
Oh, come on, Lou.
Oh, I just can't. I'd love to kiss you, Helen, but, oh, I guess it's the way I was raised. My folks were awfully strict with me, you know.
Hmm?
I didn't go around with girls till I was nearly 5 years old.
Oh, Lou, you're making me awful unhappy.
Well, then, if that's the case, Helen, I'll kiss you. I'll kiss you, you lucky girl.
Oh, Lou, you don't know what this means to me.
Of course I do, Helen. I am pretty. But, Helen, I have a very peculiar idiosyncrasy. You put your two hands on my shoulders, see?
Hmm?
You put your two hands on my...
Like this?
Yeah, and then I'll kiss you. Just like that.
Like that. Well, why do you want me to put my hands on your shoulder?
I got about $160 here in my pocket.
Lou, you know, it's not your money. It's just that, I wanna be loved by you, just you, and nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you alone. I wanna be kissed by you, just you, nobody else but you. Oh, I wanna be kissed by you alone. Goodness, fire, do anything higher than feel that desire to make you my own. But feet up, poop, poop, but do. Oh, I wanna be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. Oh, I wanna be loved by you alone. Honey, I wanna be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you alone. I wanna be kissed by you, just you, nobody else but you.
Yeah.
I wanna be kissed by you alone. I couldn't aspire to anything higher than feel that desire to make you my own. But feet up, poop, poop, ba-doo, honey. I wanna be loved by you, just you, and nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you, but up, feet up, feet up, feet up.
Now, do you hear that music? That's the theme song of the Boop Boop Bidoop Quintet. Are you ready, children?
Yes, teacher!
Boop Boop Bidoop number one is the sweet singing Woody Valley.
Oh, for goodness sakes, I'm present.
Boop, boopy doop number two is the mischievous, effervescing, scintillating Helen Kane.
I'm present.
Lovely pupil. Boop, boopy doop number three is the fabricating, exaggerating, ever loving Jack Poyle.
I couldn't come today.
Boop, boopy doop number four is the teacher's pet, little Connie Bennett.
Oh, teacher.
Just for that, you stay after school. And boop, boopy doop number five is the aromatic, rheumatic, from hunger, Lou Holtz.
I brought you an apple, teacher. May I sing first?
Yes, Rudy. The first singer is sweet singing Woody.
I tipped a taxi driver a nickel last night. He said, go on, you tramp.
Why, the champion tightwad always tips me a dime. I said, shake hands with the brand new champ.
Oh, hola mi. Oh, hola mi. Oh, hola you.
Oh, hola you.
Hola, 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 hola.
Lil Helen K.
What can we get in the seafood place at my cousin Sophie Teller? The waiter said we serve anything that swims, so I said, bring me Johnny White Muller. Oh, sorry! Oh, sorry!
How are you?
Oh,
sorry!
Little Jack Pearl. My wife bought a washing machine when she went shopping downtown. Whenever I get in to take a bath, the paddles knock me down. Little Connie Bennett.
My old man maid. My old maid aunt said a man tried to kiss her. I was quite inclined to doubt it. She said it happened way back in 1903, but I still like to talk about it.
What is the definition of your backbone? The teacher asked my brother. He said your head sits on one end of it, and you sit on the other. Oh, soul of me,
oh, soul of you.
Oh, my brother, oh,
it's easier to get things done, to make friends, to enjoy life when you're full of vitality and good spirits. Do what you can to step up your vitality. Eat extra vitamins. During the summer, people are apt to eat less nerve vitamin B and less vitality vitamin G than at any other time of the year. And many people, on account of slow digestion, do not get the full benefit of the vitamins they eat. Begin tomorrow. Eat Fleischmann's new high vitamin yeast. 2 cakes a day give you 300 units of nerve vitamin B, over 100 units of Vitality Vitamin G, and rich amounts of vitamins A and D. And besides, this fresh yeast, by acting to tone up slow digestion, promotes the assimilation of vitamins. Eat one cake a half hour before two of your meals, or both cakes before any one meal. Do this regularly, and see if you don't feel more energetic. Get some Fleischmann's high vitamin yeast from your grocer tomorrow.
Believing that names make shows as well as news, we bring you another big-time bill next Thursday. Bert La, gong, 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 one of the funniest of comedians. Carmen Miranda, Brazilian bombshell whose selfie rhythm so delighted us here in her radio debut 2 weeks ago. Ogden Nash, brilliant writer of humorous verse. And, of course, Lou Holtz. The Valley Company moves into Lowell State Theater here on Broadway a week from today, next Thursday, for a week's engagement. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
Millions of people are planning to spend their vacation seeing the New York World's Fair or the San Francisco Golden Gate International Exposition. Join them. And while you're there, enjoy the special attractions provided by Royal Desserts and Fleischmann's Foil Yeast. In San Francisco, the colorful House of Hospitality. In New York, the magnificent Standard Brands Building, featuring our great free outdoor marionette show and Rudy Valley's marionette, who will sing for you. Come in. You're always welcome.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.